Barry Kosky is one of Australia's most famous and most controversial theatre directors. Since 2012, he's been the artistic director of one of Berlin's three opera houses, the Komische Oper. Right now, Germany's in the news. Its football team has just won the World Cup. And also making headlines around the world are reports that Chancellor Angela Merkel will step down well before the next election. She presides over Europe's biggest and strongest economy. And unlike our politicians, she's actually very popular. It seems that if reports are true, she does want to embrace new challenges, perhaps as the head of the UN or the head of the EU. Now, Barry Kosky is famously uninterested in sport, and I'm not too sure how passionate he is about either economics or politics, but he is a master storyteller, someone who works in the realm of symbols and archetypes. He's very interested in ideas around identity and culture, and I think he's well placed to offer some astute observations about his current home, Germany, and also his country of origin, Australia. Barry Kosky, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you very much.
Do you like living in Berlin?
I adore it. It's a fantastic city. Berlin is a little like, you know, it's a little like sort of Manhattan in America in the sense that it's an island. It's an absolute sort of invention that is a sort of a freak invention in a culture.
It operates almost in opposition to the rest of the country around it.
Yeah, it does. And it's very, I mean, during the early part of the 20th century, it did so. During the Third Reich, it also did. During the post-war period, it did. And, of course, with the wall, it did. And West Berlin, was an island at that stage. So
you've said, quote, "It's a city of outsiders and lost souls and a magnet for artists, a place that understands ambivalence and dreams, which the English-speaking world doesn't." It's because it's an island? It's because...
Yeah, I think there are a number of things. Firstly, just the pure sort of geography. I mean, you walk around a city like Berlin and you are confronted simultaneously with sort of the 18th century, the 19th century and everything that's gone on in the 20th century in a way that you aren't in many other Western cities, because it's either been rebuilt or sort of destroyed completely or concreted over. And it all doesn't quite work and blend, which is sort of fabulous, because we sort of use this idea that urban environments have to be sort of well constructed. And
maybe the people don't work and blend in in the same way that other places.
And I think it's been, Berlin has historically been a place where artists have flocked to. I mean, it's just an artist's paradise.
We're all a product of various personal traits and inherited cultural baggage. What do you bring to Berlin as an Australian?
Well, you have to ask the Germans about that. Certainly I'm not seen as being, I'm always referred to as the Australian director, Barry Kosky. I always ask my German friends and colleagues what they mean by that, what associations they have with that. And they say, well, no, it's just a sort of label so that, you know, we know that you're not German. But when you ask people, ask Germans or particularly German artists what the association with the Australian on my name is, it doesn't really have any associations. They know that's from outside. They know it's from outside Europe, but we'd be surprised how little associations that word has.
You're a Jewish Australian?
Well, that has many more associations.
Presumably, that's a complex or difficult space to occupy in a city like Berlin.
No, not really.
No.
Maybe in the 1930s it was, but certainly not now. No,
It's a heavy space to occupy.
No, okay, not at all. You know what the Germans have gone through and been through and spoken about in the last 70 years is sort of unparalleled, I think, in any other country in the world in terms of self-reflection. It's still ongoing, but I have never felt a drop of anti-Semitism there. You know, I'm not going to sort of say it's all fabulous, but it's unlike other countries where the conversations about history and the shame and the past of history is completely buried, like Australia. It's very refreshing.
In many ways, Australia and Germany are both quite conservative countries and both quite successful countries. It's the powerhouse of Europe, and we're doing very, very well. Do you see any similarities? Is there a certain smugness which comes with that success, do you think?
No, I don't think the Germans are all smug. I think Australians are smug. I don't think the Germans are all smug. They have sort of maybe a sort of cool, aloof, sort of sometimes arrogance about the success of the culture. But you know what's interesting, and I've learned this over the last few years and seen it at work, is that it's very nice to sort of see it's sometimes the very good side of Protestant culture, that it's a work ethic, it's the very loyal. My German colleagues, they're very open. They're quite honest about what they think. They can be very blunt sometimes. But I certainly in the environments that I work in, I've never felt any degree of smugness. And I think the Germans are still, you know, under the trauma of the 20th century. They're very careful about asserting any sort of dominant nationalism. I think this is what people have got to understand, is that the wounds and the scars are so deep that there's a sort of inbuilt mechanism which sort of stops them maybe from going as far as some other countries. And there's a cautiousness. I mean, this gets onto the idea of Angela Merkel. There's a cautiousness about Germany. And this cautiousness comes from the historical experiences of the country.
Well, let's talk about Angela Merkel. Do you have any thoughts about what she kind of represents as
Mutti,
an archetype?
Mutti, they call
Mutti,
her.
Mutti, means mother, doesn't it?
Mother. They love her. She's like the non-threatening mother. Well, she's sister, aunt, mother. It's very interesting. It's fascinating. And it's interesting that, you know, all my left-wing friends like her. It's fascinating. Like, no one really hates her. No one despises her. No one, even the left-wing parties and whatever, have respect for her, because she embodies this sort of what the German sort of soul wants now.
It's sort of
security, a non-threatening, stable. She's a chemist, you know, so it's she's very analytical. She gives the impression that she's not emotional, but she sort of is when she needs to be. Quite boring, staid, and in a way just does her job, which is sort of what Germany have done for the last few decades.
You're describing the polar opposite of the Australian politic right now. Yeah. I mean, why do you think they are so different?
Well, I go back to what I said before. I think the histories of the country, I mean, you get the politicians that reflect where the country is at a particular moment. I mean, that's what politics is, isn't it? It's just a reflection of
we get the politics we deserve.
Of the country is at that particular moment in time in history. And I'm sorry to sound so pessimistic about it, but that's what Australia is at the moment.
You've also lived in Vienna for a time, and you were director of the city's Schauspielhaus Theatre. You actually didn't like the audiences. You described them as arrogant, conservative and ignorant, and said the city was possessed of a dark soul, quite repressed and incestuous. And you've even suggested that the city, or perhaps the country, could do with some serious psychoanalysis. I guess you're talking about those unresolved historical issues which exist everywhere. Yeah. Australia, Austria, Germany. If we put Germany on the psychiatrist's couch, what issues do you think it would have to deal with or should deal with?
Well, I think that Germany has been on the couch. They've been happily on the couch for the last 70 years. I mean, you know, I don't want to sort of create this utopian idea that everything's been resolved, but Japan didn't go on the couch like Germany did. America, in its history of slave culture, hasn't gone on the couch like Germany did about what happened with the Third Reich.
And is that why Austria needs to go on the couch?
Well, Austria needs to go on the couch. The problem with Austria, well, one of the many problems with Austria, is that they completely have reconstructed their history. You know, it's the birthplace of European anti-Semitism, Vienna. And I think there's a lot of issues. I mean, Kurt Waldheim, let's not forget that. I mean, they voted for a man.
The former UN head.
Yeah, the former UN head. They voted for him as president, knowing that he had a Nazi past. So, you know, let's not beat about the bush.
Barry Kosky, what do you reckon if we put Australia on the couch, what issues would it have to deal with?
Oh, it would have to deal with the whole history of Indigenous population in a much more complex history of the Indigenous population of this country in a much more complex, honest way. I mean, it's all very well to say sorry, but it needs to be moved from the sides of the discussion to the centre of the discussion, because the wound is so enormous and so dark and so complex that unless that wound is not just analysed and discussed, but accepted as being part of the fabric of the country, you know, it's not gonna go anywhere. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the next wound, the entire convict history of the country, which created such ghosts and terrible complexities, which we see, I think, Australian politics is to me just a reflection of, you know, convicts and prison guards.
How?
Well, because I think there's a sort of cruelty.
I don't see that.
Yeah, I think that's you know, I'm using theatrical metaphors here, but I think that there's a play on the sense of power and pettiness and meanness. And I mean, the whole idea of the country as being a sort of prison that started as a prison by the English is something that which I don't think you can ever go away from. And that's not me being, you know, theatrical or romantic. That's an interesting metaphor.
What do you make of the idea that Australians are this egalitarian, laid-back culture as a result of maybe being the product initially of convicts and soldiers who ultimately, you know, got on well and created a nice new culture, society?
Yeah, destroyed lots of the land, killed lots of people. No, I think that it's well, look, it's an island culture, so it's always got a bit of the Club Med about it. I've said that before. I'm always surprised that we are laid-back. We think, well, there are laid-back people all around the world, you know. Oh, we're friendly. Well, there are friendly people all around the world. There are, you know. Australians are not unique in friendliness. Australians have a great sense of humour. I love Australian humour. I miss Australian humour. I really, really miss Australian humour. And I miss the sort of openness about Australians. But there are, you talk to Scandinavians and they're just as open. So I think these qualities are not something that we should be really used. I prefer for Australians to say, we are a country that has produced these writers and these composers and these artists. That's what I prefer people to say about Australia. Not that we're friendly and open and egalitarian, because, you know, that's not a unique human position on the planet.
Barry Koski, great pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for speaking to Sunday Extra.
Thank you.